Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to take a detour in our study of 1 Corinthians, but not out of 1 Corinthians. We would typically, I just got done with chapter 7, and we would go on to chapter 8, but I've decided over the next 3 weeks leading up to Easter, Resurrection Sunday, that we're going to jump forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In this chapter, and Tim memorized the chapter for me, yes, he memorized the chapter. Now that's not much because he has the whole book of Romans memorized, so praise the Lord. This chapter, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, gives the most extensive look into the resurrection and the very foundation of what we believe and the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I think it's only appropriate that in the next 3 weeks leading up to Resurrection Sunday that we look in depth at what this resurrection truly means to us every day as a follower of Jesus Christ. So let me read the first 11 verses as I'm going to just do the first 11 this morning and the power of the resurrection. And the next few verses will be the importance of the resurrection. And then finally on Easter Sunday, we'll talk about the hope of the resurrection. So this morning, follow along with me again as I read 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Just read along with me again. Now I want to remind you, brethren, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, and then He appeared to the 12, and then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, and most of them are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, and then to the apostles, and last of all, as to one of untimely birth, He appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Jesus spoke of His resurrection. In Mark chapter 8, as He was with His disciples, He said these things. As He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. In Mark chapter 9, verse 9, again Jesus says this, and they came and they were coming down the mountain. He charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Verse 31, for He was teaching His disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill Him. And when He is killed, after 3 days, He will rise again. Why is the resurrection so important? Quite simply put, and we'll study this tomorrow, or next Sunday, in verse 14, if there is no resurrection, then our preaching, our proclamation of the gospel, our faith in Jesus Christ is absolutely a sham. So it's kind of a big deal. There is no Good Friday if Jesus is not alive on Sunday. Amen. So it is a big deal, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The good news, the gospel that we preach, what the Bible teaches, is not that Jesus died. The gospel is that Jesus died and rose again. He is alive. The gospel, this proclamation, impacts the death, the burial, and the resurrection, impacts your daily lives if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This morning, we're just going to look at the first 11 verses, but I want you to see the power of this resurrection. The very power of the resurrection absolutely changed things. The first thing that I see is found in the first two verses of 1 Corinthians 15. The power of the resurrection saw the beginning of the church. But look at verses 1 and 2 with me again. It says, "Now I want to remind you, brethren," the word brothers is just believers in Christ, the church in Corinth. "I want to remind you, those of you who have put your faith in Jesus Christ in Corinth, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Listen, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ put power into the church. Believers were now gathering, celebrating the fact that Jesus was alive. Whether it was in places like Corinth or Thessalonica, or Philippi, or Galatia, or Ephesus, wherever believers were meeting, the church was exploding. Or Altoona. We are the true church in a biblical sense when you believe the message of the gospel. Isn't that what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says? "For if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Listen, the power of the resurrection saw the church begin. The disciples preached, they evangelized, they spread the good news. This is all the same root Greek word, evangelion, to evangelize. We have a message, and it's that Jesus is alive. That's the church. That is what the church is for. This is the message that we believe. You know, Peter, after denying Christ three times, as Jesus visited him after the resurrection, as we see here in a few more verses, and then as the Holy Spirit came upon Peter when Jesus ascended, we see the first message that Peter gave in the church found in Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. Listen to Peter's message. "This Jesus," he says, "this Jesus you delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Look at verse 32. This Jesus God raised up. And of that we are all witnesses. We, the true church, confessing, believing followers of Jesus Christ, the church, this is our message. And we are witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. Listen, we have a privilege. Listen, I get it. Church is messy, right? There might even be people in this room you don't like. But we gather here to worship Jesus. He gives us strength. Because he is alive. To be remembering the gospel in the church. It says in verse 2, it says, or verse 1, it says they received this gospel, this death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. They received it. The church, the believers received this message. The word received means to aggressively take it. It's like, I want this message. I've heard this message that Jesus died for my sins, and I want it. I want to believe it. It says they aggressively took that message. Have you? Isn't that what we did? Someone shared the gospel with us, and we aggressively took it. It carries the meaning of that you really, really wanted it. It was irresistible to you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's the message by which we stand. It's the message by which the church stands. It's the power by which the church stands. The word there carries the meaning, it makes you stand. In other words, it's the very gospel, the message of the death, burial, and resurrection in Jesus Christ causes us to stand up. Amen? When you're down, when the world is beating on you, when people are overcoming, or when people or your work or your spouse or your kids or whatever circumstances is overwhelming you, the gospel can cause you to stand. That is the power of the resurrection in the church. Yes, we're a mess, but we have a great Savior. Amen? And by which people are being saved. Yes, we are the invisible church, true followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus knows who you are. But within the church, there are people who are coming that do not know. Just like in Corinth, Paul says, unless you are listening to this and you believed in vain. What is he saying here? Listen, unless the power of the resurrection changes you, you are not saved. That's what it says. The gospel changes people. Isn't that what Jesus talks about? I mean, Paul says it again in 2 Corinthians 6:1. As he continues a thought, he says this, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. The Bible teaches that some people say they believe in Jesus, but Jesus doesn't believe in them. These are hard words to hear. Listen, this was me for 26 years of my life. Going to church every day, felt like anyway. I hated it. I loved the baby Jesus. But when Jesus started to talk to me, I wanted nothing to do with it. I liked Christmas. Give me the baby Jesus. That's all I want. Not the Jesus who tells me that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Not a Jesus that tells me that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I want nothing to do with that Jesus because I believed in vain. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not proclaim, preach in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many works in your name?' And Jesus says this: 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity,'" lawlessness. Jesus says in John chapter 2, you remember? "Now when he was in Jerusalem, Passover feast, many believed in Jesus because of the signs he did. But Jesus on his part did not believe," same word, "in them, because he knew them." Listen, the resurrection of Jesus gave birth to the church, the gathering of true followers of Jesus Christ, and he gives us life. Has he given you new life? Or have you believed in vain? Listen, not only does the power of the resurrection give birth and power to the church, but it confirmed my second point, it confirmed the Scriptures. The power of the resurrection confirmed the Scriptures. Look at verses 3 and 4 with me. "For I delivered," Paul says, "I'm delivering to you, not what I'm teaching in a sense from anything other than what I've already been taught." So listen here, he says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised, and on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Why is this so important? Listen to me, this is important because the resurrection proved the Scriptures are true. Now, Paul's referring to the Old Testament here. But we know that all Scripture is inspired by God. So the very words that we're reading is God's word to us. But Paul is saying, listen, all the Old Testament, everything that we've been taught is true. The Old Testament spoke of the Messiah and how he would come and how he would die and how he would raise from the dead. He would rise again. Look at the Scripture in regards to the death of Messiah. Some 700 plus years before Jesus ever entered this world, Isaiah prophesies of the Messiah to come. He says, "He will be wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verses 9 and 10. "And they made his grave," the Messiah died, "they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him." He has put him to grief. "When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days, the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hands." That is the death of our Messiah, Jesus Christ. But no, he is going to rise again, verse 11 says. out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. Some translation put in there, you shall see the light again. And by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Psalm 16:10, Peter makes reference to this in his sermon, his very first sermon. He quotes Psalm 16:10, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, for let your Holy One see corruption. Listen, he's referring to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the messianic text found in Psalm 26. So what does this mean? What does the power of the resurrection mean? It means that you can trust the Scriptures. You can read your Bible and believe it. For whatever you're going through, whatever God's taking you through, whatever trial God has you through, you can believe His Word. You can trust Him. If you have believed the gospel, that is what the Bible is all about. Whatever you are going through right now, follower of Christ, read the words of God. Trust the words of God and the power of the resurrection. It can give you hope. Whatever circumstance you're going through, it will give you hope. Not only did it give the church its beginning, not only did it confirm the Scriptures, but we see that he was seen, the power of the resurrection was seen by people, and it changed people's lives. Look at verses 5 and 8 with me, 5 through 8. And then he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 people, and then he appeared to James, and last of all, he appeared to Paul. The power of the resurrection was seen by people. The message of the gospel is preached with power because there was a resurrection, and people saw him alive. And it absolutely changed their lives. Look at Peter's example in verses 9 and 10. Last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared to me. The resurrected Jesus appeared to Paul. And what happened? He says this. Listen to his humility. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I have persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but it was the grace of God that is in me. Paul gives us a bit of his testimony. He was a persecutor of the church. He killed Christians. We hear the humility of a changed life. Least of all, unworthy. The word means unfit. He continues to use the phrase, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, towards the grace of God. This is unmerited favor of God on Paul. Paul recognizes that apart from God, he will do evil. Apart from the grace of God, followers of Jesus Christ, we cannot please God. And Paul recognized that. The power of the resurrection changed people's lives. It causes you to want to glorify the very God we believe in. What about us? I was saved on November 2nd, 2001. I got to tell you, I didn't see the resurrected Jesus. So what about me? Where's the power in the resurrection for me? Well, Peter tells us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, just look at them with me real quick. though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. And you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Listen, though I've never seen the resurrected Jesus, he changed my life. And if you've put your faith in the resurrected Jesus, he changed yours. You have a joy that is inexpressible. You have a joy that is really hard to explain to somebody who asks you about what it means to be saved. They ask you, well, what does that mean? And you're like, well, I can't explain this joy of knowing that my sins are forgiven. I can't explain to you the joy that I have knowing that I have eternal life right now. It's hard to explain, isn't it? Peter understood. The apostles understood. The 500 witnesses understood. The power of the resurrection changes people's lives. Has it changed yours? And then finally, the power of the resurrection is the message, and it hasn't changed. Amen? Look at verse 11 with me as I close. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Again, we have 58 verses in chapter 15, all about the resurrection, all about the very message of Jesus Christ. Remember back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it said the message of the cross, or it says the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the resurrection, the power of God, is not that Jesus is on the cross. It's that it's empty. He rose again. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us all a message of hope. To someone who is sick, who knows Jesus Christ, knows there's hope. To someone whose spouse or family or whatever conflict is going on, to you who know the message of the cross and the resurrection, you have hope in Christ. The power of the resurrection gives us a message. It's all the proof we need. If there is any victory over your life of sin, it is found at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That same power resides in you. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, He reminds you of all that Jesus has done, teaching you, filling you. This is our message. And it will never change. So, the power of the resurrection. It saw the beginning of the church, and what a joy church is. Amen? Yeah, better. Let's try that again. The power of the resurrection saw the church begin. What a joy it is. The power of the resurrection confirmed the Scriptures to us. Listen, we can read our Bibles and believe it. Even if we don't want to follow, Even if our flesh is weak, we can say, Lord, help me. You did it. And that same power is in me. You say no to that sin for me. Give me the strength to walk away from that temptation because you did. You find your hope and your joy knowing that God wants to speak to you. The power of the resurrection changes lives. Has it changed yours? Has the resurrection changed your life? Or have you believed in vain? What does it mean to believe in vain? It literally means that you're putting your trust in something plus Jesus. Yeah, you might believe that the baby Jesus lived, but you still think you're going to heaven because you're a good person or because of something that someone did. Listen, that is to believe in vain. Jesus came to die for our sins. You have to first acknowledge you're a sinner. And then the Bible says to confess and to repent. To turn from your sin and turn to a holy God. To entrust in what Jesus has done for you is to believe. And I can promise you, if you've believed, you will be changed. Doesn't mean that we're not going to still struggle, but God will give you power to repent. And then finally, the power of the resurrection is our message, and it will continue. So share it. Share the message of the resurrection. Not just on Easter. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins gives us hope. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you. You have orchestrated the redemption plan. Jesus, you willingly went to a cross to die for our sins. God, you raised him from the dead to give us victory over death and sin. Holy Spirit, you illuminate the scriptures so that we might believe. Father, do your drawing work to some here this morning. Draw them to yourself, to true repentance, to true faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, for no other reason other than that they are sinners in need of a Savior. And may the power of the resurrection give us strength in the church. The gathering of believers in Christ, the power of your resurrection, Lord. May it give us victories over sin. May it give us victory until you call us home. And we will see your face. For it's in your name I pray, Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen.